Who has blue hair and is really excited about Silverlight? Adam Kinney, that's who. He's a technical evangelist at Microsoft, and he has interesting views on Silverlight. This week, we interview him, coming up on the Sparkling Client Podcast.
Hi, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast, recorded March 17th, 2008. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. It's meant for developers and designers who are interested in making the next generation of great-looking web applications. Here's how it works. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. For more information and show notes, see sparklingclient.com. Also, please consider leaving us feedback at the site. We're always looking at ways to make the show better. Warning, we're talking about beta software. Some details may change by the time this software is released. This week, we present an interview with Adam Kinney of Microsoft. Eric, what can you tell us about Adam?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that we've been getting great access to Microsoft people, and that's how we're able to bring you interviews like this, so that's pretty cool. Adam is a technical evangelist for Silverlight and WPF at Microsoft, so he's exactly the sort of person we like to talk to. He's smart, he works on Silverlight full-time, and he knows how to answer the technical questions about Silverlight. His blog is highly recommended, and it's at Adam Kinney, AdamKinney.com, AdamKinney.com. And for an example of his posts, they're very high quality. One of the latest ones is this post on the Olympic site on NBC that's going to be in Silverlight. We've talked about this before. It's a very, very exciting use of Silverlight technology. He covers it, and you can see screenshots and graphical details. To find that post, you can either just go to his blog, or you can go to shrinkster.com/W1X, so a great site. Now, I will mention, we did the interview at Mix, literally inside of Mix, so there's a bit of background noise, and extra points to whoever hears the geeky ringtone in the background.
So what do you cover in the interview?
Well, we cover a lot of topics of interest in relation to Silverlight. We talked about XAML as sort of the standard for web developers. We talked about guidance for Silverlight developers. We're in a new world and we have to figure out how to do new kinds of development for the web. We talked about Silverlight Mobile. And then we talked about the future with Silverlight 2. What new applications do we think that can't be written now, but might be written in the future? So a wide-ranging and interesting conversation with Adam.
Sounds exciting. We've condensed the interview to its core elements, and we present it for you now.
Now, one thing that occurs to me about Silverlight is that when you write the XAML, it's going to appear the same way across whatever platforms. And I'm wondering, do you see that as a potential for driving adoption of Silverlight? This idea that you can write, a website or web content that's going to be the same across different browsers, right? I mean, it seems like it would save a lot of time.
Yeah, so your code that works across all the browsers, it is an advantage, but I think what you mentioned in the beginning was about PHP. I think that's a draw as well, where you may have an existing site or just a bunch of code, you're not going to be able to rewrite all of it. But the fact that Silverlight will work with that, and because it runs on the client side, it runs within its browser, and you may be writing .NET code there, but your server code could be PHP.
And that is a good point. That's one thing I like about
that's
Silverlight.
That's a big draw, right? Yeah. And it, you know, it can be on whatever server you have, whatever web server, as long as it serves those file types. So I think that's another draw. Is, you know, you get this, as far as a lot of people already have existing applications and they're not going to be able to rewrite them all from scratch. So being able to use those, even if it's just through service calls or whatever, but, you know, rebuilding your UI that will look the same on all the browsers and all the supported OSs, very valuable.
So. Great. I was actually trying to get a little bit to the side, and that is that, you know, there are all these fights about standards and how, you know, CSS, like with IE8, right? I mean, so now how are we going to interpret this markup? And it's a big problem, and there are fights over that. It just seems to me that Silverlight sort of solves those fights in a way, right? Because it gives us a way to present stuff constantly. If you want stuff to appear one way, you write it in XAML, and you're done. There's nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really interesting to see just how that will develop as people use it. The difference being between if you would use Silverlight as like an island of richness, you know, on an existing website, or if you actually replace the whole web application front with a full Silverlight application. And I think that that's just, you know, just watching how people start using it that way. So,
it's a little scary. That gets back to the whole guidance thing. I mean, we can have Silverlight take over the page, be on a part of a page, or be invisible on the page and just use it for its, you know, ability to run code. And it's going to be tough to figure out which way do we go. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, I mean, there's a lot of different things to think about, too, as far as just accessibility and search engine optimization. And I think that...
And I wanted to get into that next, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
Okay. So how do we do search engine optimization in Silverlight? What's the right way to get at that? Or... Anyway,
so this goes along again with more guiding principles as far as how do you do it right now. So the team is definitely still working on this and trying to address the issue how best they can. There's been some improvements made from version 1 with accessibility. And for me, when I'm looking at it from like a platform feature stance, accessibility and search engine optimization go together. As far as just being able to access the content within that rich space of the application. So that is advancing. It also, it goes into the realm of other dynamic websites. If you have an Ajax-based website where the content is all loaded asynchronously, you need to think of ahead of that. So when a web engine indexer comes by and indexes it, it won't see that because it won't fire the same events. And so I think that, I mean, right now that's where I think we're looking as far as how do you address that otherwise with Ajax and Flash-based websites. It's the same problem.
No, and that is a great point. Anytime you have something dynamic happening on the client, you have to consider how to do SEO.
Yeah. So, I mean, SEO and then that also leads into, like, the mobile situation. If somebody comes
to your
page.
Which is what I wanted to talk to next. Okay. It's like you're reading my mind.
Well,
perfect.
It's the progress of your steps. But, I mean, that's another thing to think about is when you're rendering your page, you need to think of all those. Is it a search engine? Is it a phone? You know, how should I render differently? So Silverlight Mobile. You want to talk about that?
Thank you for the prompt. Yeah. So really, really exciting stuff was announced regarding Silverlight Mobile. Now, in the keynote, they mentioned it, and what I understood was that first of all, the bits are not live. Is that correct?
Right.
So we as common folk can't download them.
That's right.
Though I have seen some Microsoft people with fancy-looking displays on their phones. So.
Sure, yeah.
then the next question was, I read that it's going to be based on 1.0?
Yeah, so... This is very timely because I knew Silverlight Mobile was coming. We talked about it. I didn't have a lot of chance to really go look at it. So yesterday I attended that session that the team put on. And they had a lot of great information as far as what they're doing. The end question is, when is it real? When do we get it? What they said as far as what they're planning is... So version 1, which is based on Silverlight 1.0 to match, to reach parity with that, they want to release a CTP in the second quarter of this year, this calendar year. So that should be available. And then they want to release version 1 the fourth quarter of 2008. And then at that time, they will also have a CTP of version 2, which would then match Silverlight 2.
That's coming. Where it gets exciting.
Yes, sure. So, but it was really neat in their session where they talked about, you know, they took Silverlight 1.0 applications and copy and pasted, and it ran in Silverlight Mobile, and They also mentioned some design guidelines as far as the big issue there is the screen size and scaling down, and then of course also the device resources. So, you know, don't have a lot of things flying across the screen because of the processing power it would take. So there were some design guidelines for how your application may change, but the code was the same code. So that's really useful too. You're saying, so you can write an application for the web and the phone, and really the thing that you need to address is not the code or the architecture, but rather the interface. And then the idea that it's vector graphics, you know, it's a vector interface, that should be the easy
part,
right?
Perfect for scaling.
Yeah, you just put a scale transform on your main canvas and you're done, right? Yeah.
Perfect. So do we have an idea yet of what's going to be coming up with Silverlight? There are some obvious candidates for Silverlight 2 for the desktop I'm talking about. So okay. Presumably there are going to be additions and enhancements of the base class library and extra controls. And do we have any other things that we know about?
Publicly? For the release of Silverlight 2?
I'm talking about as we move forward from Silverlight 2.
This
may be too early a question. Yeah, this may be too early a question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, certainly nothing that I can commit to saying, yes, that'll be in the next version.
Fair enough.
I can say a lot of the most requested things.
Sure, or just general principles. What's being looked at?
I think, you know, a good guideline just for watching Silverlight go as it progresses is still looking at WPF. That was like the biggest change between Silverlight 1.1 and 2. There were a lot of changes, but down to the API level was it got closer to how WPF was, and so it's moving closer to that. So that's kind of one good way to look at it as far as the future of Silverlight, where it's headed. But it's a unique product in itself, where it's very web focused, and the idea is still to keep it very small. So it won't be exactly the same.
That's great. So we're going to be opening new frontiers here with Silverlight. There are applications that you just can't do right now. For instance, the example I like to talk about, though I didn't come up with, was say a folding at home application, right? Where you can have folding at home on a website. You run Silverlight, people visit your site. The code gets downloaded to the clients, gets jitted, and it executes in this distributed processing sort of way.
Yeah, okay.
So those sorts of things seem pretty exciting. Are there any things that sort of stand out on the top of your head as
I'm
really excited that we can't do this now, but we're going to be able to do it?
Well, I think that's kind of what you were getting into there, is just, you know, the idea that Silverlight is not just great UIs, or doesn't just have all those features. But that you're actually getting this very powerful runtime running on the client side. So you can write your applications even just to take advantage of that. It's kind of like a headless Silverlight application where you may not need the UI, but you just want that managed runtime performance. Like grid computing, that I've actually seen some samples already that people are working on with that. I think that's... Yeah, you're really starting to get into a new realm there where you could kind of like front load a lot of the work on the client side before you go back to the server. So if you're thinking like through a checkout process or something that has a lot of algorithms that need to be figured out, then you could run all that client side before going to the server. So improving the performance and the impression of the user of your application because you have all that power available to you. So, .NET runtime on the client is exciting in itself, you know, and then you get all this UI goodness on top of it, even better. So, but yeah, that's one scenario that like I don't think a lot of people talk about very much, but definitely just using it just for the fact that it has that runtime on the client side is very cool in my mind.
Exactly, and I'm actually very personally excited about that too. We'll see what it leads to, but I imagine that they're going to be applications that we can't even think of right now that
sure.
people are going to come out with. And I'm excited to see what those are.
Yeah.
For people who haven't been able to be at MIX 08, could we give a short summary? I mean, what do you think are the key points for somebody who hasn't been at MIX 08 and they're not going to watch all the videos for the talks? What could we say about that?
Well, Boy, there's just been so much.
Okay, fair enough. There's too much.
Well, I mean, even there's been so much reporting about it. You know, now that we're in this new world where everybody has a show they're doing, if it's audio or video, you know, everybody has a blog they're writing to. And so from my aspect, like, I've been kind of reading the reaction, trying to see what people are keying on the most. Of course, Civilite 2 beta is huge. IE8 is huge. The WPF improvements to WPF is another big item. So to summarize it, I mean, definitely, I think I'm a little...
I'm sorry, maybe it's not fair to ask no. you to summarize it, but what sort of... And you may have just given the list, but what sort of sticks out on the top of your head as being like, wow?
It's just because I'm biased. I'm Silverlight 2. I mean, that's huge for me. Just to get that out and to start letting everybody see it. You know, it's that's the biggest story for me.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Interesting stuff. That's all we have time for. See you next week on the Sparkling Client podcast. Eric and I work for Silver Bay Labs, the company Eric founded. If you want to know more about what we do, see silverbaylabs.org. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnatune.com.